Morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Got one fantastic. We got a good over here. Everybody else is someplace in between fantastic and good, Lord willing. Well, I hope you had a delightful Christmas week. Do we have a delightful Christmas week, church? We had a beautiful, in the last few weeks here, we've gotten to celebrate community and fellowship and the benefits that those bring. We've gotten to celebrate God's incredible love for us and the security that that has in our own lives as we live our lives of faith, as we live our ministries of faith. We got to celebrate the power of God's presence with us, providing us with overwhelming hope, joy, peace. And today, as we're wrapping up this year, as Glenn already pointed out, I want to talk about transitions. I want to talk about transitions. How do we walk through transitions well? Anybody? How do we walk through transitions well? Any thoughts? No loud ones. Stumbling through transitions, yeah. Journaling and prayer, anyone else? Lots of prayer, love it. Go ahead. God, how do we go through transitions well? We go through transitions well with God. That's a great answer. That's a great answer. How many people in this room are walking through a transition right now? Hands up's good, yeah. Hands up, yeah. Quite a few. Some of you are deniers. But we have a few that at least know it. I mean, for those of you that teach, Christmas break is coming to an end, right? We also have those that go to school. We don't talk about that one. The break is coming to an end, so there's a transition coming. And for all of us in the room, we're walking from 2024 into 2025. Now, it's just a number, but it's a transition. For some of us, 2024 was a really good year. For others in the room, 2024 may have been a really hard year. For most of us in the room, 2024 was a mixed bag, right? Like every year. But there's a key to transitioning well in hard times and in good times and in the in-between. And I believe that key, or one of the elements that's important, crucial to healthy transition, is remembering. Remembering. This last semester, I was blessed, as many of you know, to have a sabbatical, and I did a lot of studying during the semester, but one of the books that I studied intensely for the entire semester was Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is a text that's dealing with the guidance to Israel as they're sitting on the edge of the promised land about to enter. After coming out of Egypt, after coming out of slavery by the hand of God, they're sitting at the edge, and Moses is given instruction, which he then informs them, this is how you're to behave as you go into the land. This is the well-being God wants for you. In the book of Deuteronomy, it's 34 chapters. Take a guess. How many times is Israel instructed to remember? Some guesses. 34 chapters. How many? 34. It's a good guess. It's a really good guess. 210. That is amazing. I thought it was really substantial. You guys are overshooting. So I thought it was incredibly substantial that in 34 chapters, Israel is instructed to remember 29 times. You're very, yeah. So very close to once a chapter, God reminds Israel to remember. It's so crucial for us to remember, and we're going to get into why. But let's talk first about remembering in the good times, because there's instruction in Deuteronomy for that. Deuteronomy 8:10 through 14 says this. When you have eaten, so they're now, once they're in the promised land, you've eaten and you're satisfied. Praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. Lord, as we as a community walk through transitions, let us be a community that walks together. Let us be a community that encourages and builds each other up. Let us be a community that reflects on the great things you have done. And so are empowered because we know the great things you will do. God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's easy to forget to remember who gave you the good things. It's easy to forget to remember who gave you the good things. Oftentimes when we reflect on the good things God's done, maybe we think of some hard event where God brought us out of something that was really challenging. I can think of a few this year. But how often do we get up in the morning and can hardly open our eyes, and we get down to the coffee pot and we pour ourselves a cup of coffee and we're sipping that cup of coffee and we think, praise God for this cup of coffee. Praise God that I sleep within four walls and in a bed. Wow, better than a floor. Although my daughter likes to sleep on the floor. It's crazy to me. It's just crazy. She's been wanting to stay with us in our bedroom. And so it's like, no, not in the bed. So she sleeps on the floor. And I'm waiting for her to just be like, I'm done with this. This is terrible. Children are incredibly resilient. And she's still there. Yeah, I'd be on there for a half hour. I'd be like, all right, to the bed. But how often do we not remember the wonderful things God's given us? Every day, every moment. James 1:17 says this, every good and perfect gift is from where? Above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Do we recognize that? Are we remembering that when we receive the gift? For some of us, this year could feel really hard, and that doesn't take away from thanking God for the coffee in the bed and remembering all the wonderful things that he's given you. But this idea of remembering isn't changed when you're facing hard times. It's not changed when you're facing hard times. in Deuteronomy 20, here we're in Deuteronomy, God is giving instruction. They're about to go into the promised land, and God is giving instruction for them and how they're going to handle themselves well in warfare. And at the start of this chapter, the first thing he says to them is, when you go up against these big armies, things that are way bigger than you, and they've got horses and chariots, you don't have those things, but they'll have those things, and they're going to look way bigger than you. Have any of you ever faced a problem that looks way bigger than you? Amen. He says to him, remember what I have done for you. Remember how I delivered you from slavery. I'm really excited. This upcoming summer, we're going to be studying Exodus. It's an amazing book, and I hope that maybe in a year or so, we'll study Deuteronomy together. But when we look at the Exodus, the thing that Israel is ushered to remember, is this deliverance from slavery. Friends, we may not have been slaves in Egypt, but God has certainly delivered us. And the deliverance he's given us through his son is far greater than the deliverance from a superpower in the ancient Near East. Far greater. The power of remembering God's good work in our lives is throughout Scripture. Psalm 77, 11 through 15 puts it like this. I will remember, this is David, I believe, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You, with your arm, redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. I want you just to take a second. This last week might have been really full. Hopefully, Lord willing, filled with delightful things, but that's not certain. I want us to take a moment, and I want us to reflect on the ways God has worked in our lives, through our lives, in our community, in the small things, the cup of coffees, to the big things, cancer and remission. Just take a moment. I just want to practice something all together. I want with you with me. Ready? We're just going to say, thank you, Lord. Ready? Thank you, Lord. Let's do that again. Thank you, Lord. Again. Thank you, Lord. God's been doing great things. His goodness is so evident in our community. This year, we welcomed David and Lenora into our little family. Josh and Ann's baby Lenora and Tim and Phoebe's baby David. We got to celebrate new birth with four baptisms, Ava, Angela, Ming, and Shane. It's amazing. We got to welcome the Lincolns and the Martins into our church membership. And they have served faithfully. They've been eager to plug in and support people in this community and dedicated to God's love for those not in our church building today, but in the surrounding community. Praise God. We got to grieve with the Scott family with the passing of our dear brother Bill. We got to celebrate the incredible life that he lived in service to our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. We got to encourage and care for the McClure family in a time of unexpected need. Praise God. Just this last week, Sunday after church, I don't remember what was going on after church, but we were here for a while, and that usually happens with me. We actually got a prayer request Sunday from my daughter saying that my dad's a pastor, and I'm in church so long, you know, that type of thing. I have to get here before we start, and I'm here after everybody's gone. I'm proud that she submitted that prayer request to me. Oh, what a little delight. But we got home, and we walk in the house, and it was bitter cold. Bitter cold. I ran over to the furnace. It's 45 degrees. Cold. I know a little bit about this and that, but not a lot about anything. And I ran into the basement, and I looked. I couldn't figure anything out. And I go upstairs, and my first thought was, I better text Glenn and ask for prayer. So I texted Glenn and asked for prayer. Glenn and Beverly prayed for me. And I just had an urge to call Scott Davey. I love Scott. Scott and I have been dear friends and for a long, long time, but I hardly ever call the guy. I might text occasionally. But we have a lot of skilled people in this church that have know-how that I would be more inclined to call and go, help! But I just felt like I should call Scott Davey, and so I called him. And Jody answered the phone, and she's like, what's up, Aaron? What do you need? And I said, my furnace isn't working. And she goes, huh, Scott's outside meeting with a furnace guy. Isn't that crazy? What are the odds? Odds are not real. That's a God thing. Praise God. So I got to talk to this guy, and he was able to make it to my house this week and fix my furnace. Praise God. The church was blessed with many people stepping up so that I could take a sabbatical, and I was blessed because of it. Praise God. We got to pray for countless folks experiencing health struggles, cancer, family hardship, and financial duress. Friends, many of these prayers God graciously answered with restored health, cancer in remission, healing in relationships, and practical provision. This is just a few things that we've seen in our community in the last year. Not touching on all the many, many, many things, God, good things he has been doing in your life. Some of those things may have come to your mind as we were thinking about it. But it can be easy for us to forget. And forgetting is a problem. As we saw in Deuteronomy, he's warning them not to forget. What's he say? If you forget, what happens? Pride fills your heart. You start claiming all these wonderful things for yourself. But we know, as we read, every good and perfect gift comes from above. So who are we to claim any of it? We should profess with our mouths and our hearts the wonderful things God has done. Psalm 9, 1 and 2 says this, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. I want to invite up the worship team. Why is it important in seasons of transitions that we remember? When we remember what God has done, we're reminded of who God is. When we remember what God has done, we are reminded of who God is. Say that with me. When we remember what God has done, we are reminded of who God is. Amen. And who is God? God is good. God is able. If we're living in that memory of who God is, empowered by it, then we want to live a life that is filled with worship because we're grateful for all the gifts we've received, right? Right? I was thinking about this week. Imagine if you came into church, okay, because we come to church once a week, except for last week. Maybe we came two times. And you come in, and you see me just intentionally like huffing, you know, breathing really fast. And at first you're just like, Aaron's being a weirdo. That's not too unusual, right? But I just keep doing it. At some point, you might be a little concerned. And you come up to me and you say, Aaron, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just trying to get all my breath in now so I don't have to breathe later. But if God gives us breath, why do we often treat it like we can get that portion of our life fulfilled in an hour and a half on Sunday? Worship should be like breathing. If I stop breathing after this service, I will be dead in about 2 minutes. Or at least I'll pass out and my body will force me to breathe. Similarly, worship is like that. Acts 17:14 says, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in a temple built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. Everything else. Are you breathing? Praise the Lord. Are you breathing? Praise the Lord. Great are you, Lord. Would you stand with us in worship this morning?